Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. In today's podcast, I'm going to give those of you that struggle with ADHD or who have resonated with the things I talked about in those ADHD podcasts, which I think is probably everyone. I know I resonated with some of the stuff, and I'm definitely not diagnosed with ADHD, but it's the executive functioning part of our brain, which we all have. So everyone's going to relate to different things that I said. But today, I want to give you five tips or five steps to keeping your house more organized. Because one of the things I'm starting to hear now from people who are going through the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge, or who are getting through organizing their house is they get through some rooms and they're into other rooms and they realize the rooms that they finished are now getting cluttery again. Or, you know, we just want it to be done once and be done, and it's not. And so how much do you maintain, and how do you maintain an organized house? And that'll be a whole separate podcast later, but that does come into play today. So today I'm going to talk generally about organizing your house, just some big general overview things that don't really fit in any other like podcast or post categories. So these are just some tips and tricks. So the first thing, and I hear this from other organizers, and I agree with it to an extent, which is to try to live a more simple life and just get rid of a lot of stuff. And while I totally understand that it's much easier to maintain a house that has less stuff, the problem is there's always going to be one or two areas where it's super, super hard for you to get rid of stuff. So like, for example, when I talked about teaching my daughter how to organize her bedroom, the key was for us over those couple of years to really get down to the point where she does not have a lot of stuff. She really doesn't have very much stuff in her room. However, she has an exorbitant amount of animal-related care, food, nutrition, and caging products. Like, she has more things for her animals than she does articles of clothing. She has more things for her animals than she does any other craft or anything else that she's into. Like, if you took everything that my daughter owned, half of it would be animal-related stuff. Treats and toys and cages and, I don't know, so much stuff. For Christmas, she got two guinea pigs for Christmas, and then she got a whole bunch of cash because that's what she asked for from everyone for guinea pig stuff. So she either got guinea pigs and guinea pig stuff and then a whole bunch of cash. And we went to PetSmart, and I kid you not, we could have bought a dog for the amount of stuff she bought for these two guinea pigs. Like, that is her passion. She's always going to have a ton of guinea pig stuff. So while a lot of organizers say just simplify everything, for me, I'm a creative type, you know, in like my words and just in the, you know, my website design and in containers for organizing, like I definitely have more than I probably should because that's my thing. Like organizing and teaching are my thing. So I'm always going to have more organizing and teaching supplies and blog related computery type things than the average person will. However, if you walk in my closet, like people wonder how I get dressed every day. I mean, there are clothes in there, but there are not very many clothes in there. And for sure in the kitchen, oh my gosh, like I, you know, I don't cook. Like I'd prefer to just either have it brought in or go pick it up every single day. Like I have a very well-stocked kitchen, but if you took it all away tomorrow, I would totally live just fine. So when we know what our passions are and the things that we're really excited about, my step one is to simplify everything in your house except for your passion. So if reading is your thing, like you love reading, don't get rid of a single book. I'm telling you, don't get rid of a single book. But I want you to go through your closet, your basement, your holiday storage stuff, you know, everything like that. I want you to get as little as possible, like get rid of that stuff because you're saving books. So I tell my daughter, get rid of all the school-related playing school supplies because she didn't do that anymore because we have so much animal supplies we don't know what to do with. So number one, simplify every area. Be ruthless in what you get rid of in every area except the area that is your passion. And what I find most people do that get stuck immediately is they try to organize their passion first. And so they never make any progress in their house because they don't want to get rid of anything of their passion. So there's no way to make space to do any organization. Okay, now I'm going to actually talk about your passion. When you think about your passion, like my daughter's guinea pig stuff, or let's say you like to do scrapbooking, or maybe you like to do sewing and yarn-related crafts, okay? Number two is to bin up old passion-related passions or old crafts. So for example, my daughter currently has two guinea pigs and a hamster. I think I call them all rats. Drives her crazy. I don't know. They have tails and they run around on the floor. I know there's a difference. Anyway, so we have a guinea pig and we have, or two guinea pigs and a hamster. But we no longer have hermit crabs, fish, and I can't remember what else we had. So what we do is, because my daughter loves animals, like the odds that we're not going to have more animals are like zero, even though I always say that we're having no more animals. So all of the stuff from the hermit crabs, we boxed up and we put in the basement. All of the stuff from the fish, we boxed up and we put in the basement. So my husband loves animals too. So if he comes home with a fish tomorrow, I don't have to go buy all new fish supplies because I know where they all are in the basement and we have everything you would ever need for fish in multiple tanks. But those things are not in my daughter's bedroom anymore where the new animals live. Likewise, I have a Sunday basket for my blog-related podcast post ideas. And so while I have a regular Sunday basket, I also have a quarterly Sunday basket for my business. And that's where I put all the ideas that I'm not working on this quarter, but I might work on next quarter because I can only do so much. And that's where I'll go through once a quarter, pull that out, get new ideas for my business, and then set that off to the side. You can never have more than two or three projects going on at any one time. Whenever I do that, like I just, my head starts to explode. So as a crafter, as a creative person, you have lots of products that you own, but you're only working on usually two to three at one time. So everything that you're not currently working on, just box it up, bin it up, label it, and put it somewhere outside of your workspace. Okay, and along the lines of that, I want you to clean up your craft-related or passion-related work area once a week. Now, I know, especially working with artists that have lots of media around them, you know, yarns and colors and construction papers, and like the chaos of the workspace actually helps them. I understand that. Like, when my to-do list is done and I don't have much to do, it's hard for me to do a podcast or a blog post because I don't have enough ideas. But if I have a list of 20 different blog posts I want to write, then I can write like crazy because I just have so much creativity and ideas in front of me. So I understand that there needs to be a quantity of stuff around you if you are a creative type. However, there becomes a tipping point where there's too much around you and then you are drowning and you can no longer be creative and you don't know what to do about it. Now, for me, I do that every week on Sunday. I go through my office desk, I clear it off, I look at everything, I go through the Sunday basket and I start over every week. That works really well for me. In addition to that, every 4 to 6 weeks, and I just did this yesterday, it's not even that I finished the projects that are on my plate or on my desk. It's that they've kind of gotten stale, or maybe I don't want to go that direction with that blog or that podcast anymore. Or maybe I heard this new idea or got this new email from one of you that took me off in a new direction. Like I just got an email about my website and I'm so grateful for the person who emailed me. It's everything I've been thinking, but they told it to me in words and now it's been confirmed that I still need to work on my website. Shocker. So now I'm like super excited about, and I have a lot of ideas about what I want to do to my website. So in order to make time for that, I need to shelve and put away some of these other projects that I was working on, which honestly didn't end up to be as fruitful as I thought they would be. And I'm not really as excited about them as I was when I originally started them. I think this is an important point. When you are a creative type, not every single project that you purchase and start will be finished. As a matter of fact, I have no statistics to back this up, but I would probably say 85% never reach completion because it's part of the creativity process. Like if I didn't put out blog posts, like if I didn't start this ADHD series, it has resonated so well with so many people. I knew it would be well received, I had no idea how helpful it would be. I had no idea that no one else has really talked about this before, because in my mind, I'm talking to doctors and school people about it all the time. And I realized my brain works differently than other people's, but I just, you know, when something's so not obvious, but obvious to you, that you don't realize it's not other people's passion and obvious to them. Same thing with your creativity. If you are a creative type, part of the art creation process with your hands on the computer, with your words, with your mind, with your teaching, with your whatever, is a constant moving down this path, this journey that you're on to express your unique creativity. And along the way, you are purging ideas. You are trying things that work and don't work. And you are constantly adjusting the path that you're on until you reach the end goal that you were uniquely designed to reach. So because we all each have our own unique gift to give the world, it is impossible that we would all go buy the same craft from Michael's, do it, and get the same fulfillment or idea out of it, right? So I want to give you permission to get rid of and to shed the ideas that did not make it all the way to being finished, because they made it far enough to move you to the next point on your journey. And for a lot of us, we need to box up those crafts and those past things that we've done and put them in the basement or put them somewhere else in case we need them. And to be honest, like speeches that I go to and I take notes on, like especially for leadership, I still have notes on conferences I went to 20 years ago, and I do still reread those every 2 or 3 years, and I do still get value out of them. So I'm not saying that events and experiences you had two decades ago have to go, but other things like counted cross stitch, which I did a ton of before the kids were born, I will not be doing that again for a long time. I just don't have the time, the patience, but it's not that I'll never do it. So I kept all the floss, because those flosses are expensive and they're all perfectly organized and the colors don't change, but got rid of everything else that went with counted cross stitch. And so as you move from one craft to the next, from one project to the next, from one part of your passion to the next part of your journey, it is okay to both, number one, completely let go of it. But more often what people do is they want to keep it, but I'm asking you not to keep it in your current creative space. So box it up, put it in the basement, put it somewhere else labeled. And then every year when you go through that storage area, consider if it's time to let that go. All right. So first, I said simplify every area in your house that is not your passion. Second, I said to bin up these old crafts, these old parts of our journey that we're on. And I think I lapsed back into that third, which is what I was supposed to be talking about, which is to clean up your passion area, your craft area, your workbench, your desk, wherever it is that you create. Clean that up. I clean it up weekly. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can have a different amount of time, and I want you to figure out what works best for you. For me, weekly works best. For some, and this is where I was going earlier, sorry, artist-related types, every 2 to 3 weeks works better because they really can't get all the way through a project in a week. It takes more like 2 to 3 weeks to get through a painting or a crafting or something like that. But when you sense that you've stopped one craft and you're starting another one, I want you to stop yourself and make yourself clean up your area so that you could start that second product in a fresh area. I had a neighbor that's since moved, and she's an amazing artist. Her products are sold everywhere, and she would clean her entire house before she would start crafting each day. There is something that comes from the cleaning and orderliness of an empty space that gives you motivation to keep going and creativity to keep going as well. And the other reason for doing this is because if you suffer from ADHD or any of those executive functioning areas, like I told you when cleaning my daughter's room, if she does it every single week, she can maintain it. If she skips a weekend, I have to come in and help. And the same is probably going to be true for you. If you go into your passion-related place and it has not been cleaned up for a year, it's going to be super, super hard for you to do that because it's too close to you. It's like choosing children almost. And you probably need a professional organizer or a really good friend to come in and sit with you while you organize it the first time. And then the key is going to be to maintaining it on a regular basis. Now, number four, along those lines, is we're going to go back to the whole house. We've simplified the rest of the house, right? And we've already set up a schedule for how often we're going to clean up our passion area. This is the part that just plain sucks. Just going to say it. You have to maintain your house pretty much every day. I used to try to create as many systems as possible where I would not have to, quote unquote, pick up the house at the end of the day. I have teenagers. I have a very helpful husband. There's no reason why I should have to pick up a house like you do when you have toddlers, right? Wrong. Like, I'm a mom and a homeowner, and it's my house. And even though people are helping around me, it falls on me. Like, if I don't do it, my husband's amazingly awesome. You guys know that. But he's not going to walk around the house and start tidying it up. He's just not going to do it. And have you seen teenagers before? Like, they're not going to do it either. I might be able to get them to pick up the majority of their own stuff, but they for sure are not going to touch the stuff that has cooties on it from their siblings, right? If your house functions better than mine, I'm so excited for you that they all have designated chores and all that. But in my house, it's not the case. And for years and years and years, I fought that. And I was like, darn it, these kids should have chores, or the babysitters should be better at picking up than they are, or somebody else should maintain this house for me. And the bottom line is, A, no one's going to, and B, it's my house. So once I finally got over that, you know, poor me, I have to pick up my own beautiful house that I live in, I realized, you know, at the end of the day, when dinner is done, I do my dishes in the morning, you know that, so I don't even do the dishes. But I do walk through the house. I pick up all the stray socks that end up everywhere. I organize Hunter's toys. I get all the dishes out of all the different areas. You know, I put the laundry back in laundry bins. If the trash needs to be emptied, I emptied out the trash. And it usually only takes me 15 to 20 minutes. But when I started doing it, it took about an hour. Change the laundry, all that stuff. And now it's just kind of a routine maintenance thing. Okay, this is the hour that I just walk around the house and do whatever needs to be done in the house. Some nights I don't have any energy and I just hide in my bedroom as usual and watch TV and work. And other nights I have more energy and I really do some deep cleaning in the evening. But I do try to walk around the house at the end of the night and just keep everything maintained. And that is something that you just need to do. You just need to maintain it. And then number five is to reflect often. So I know when I was telling you guys a long time ago about the IDLE process, which was identify, decide, locate, or let go, and then evaluate, that evaluate piece is really key for so many reasons. Organization is never done because we're always changing. Like, the organization that we do is fine, but we're always changing. Our passion is changing. Our vocations sometimes are changing. The age of our children are changing. The life events that we're going through are changing. Sometimes we change entire houses. Sometimes someone gets sick, and then that is a change. So all of these changes are happening. And another huge change that is happening to everyone is this movement from the industrial age into the information age, and where we have so much information and technology is increasing faster than we can comprehend. And because of those two things, we're constantly in a reflecting and evaluating process because, number one, if everything's available online, do we even need it in a hardcover in our own house? So everything's kind of being digitized. And as we ourselves move towards digitization, we will have less desire to have paper things. And number two, information is more readily available than it ever was. So depending on where you are in the generational lineage, like if you're a baby boomer or millennial or Gen X or wherever you are, the older you are, the more used to you are going to a book or a library to get information. And the more you start to get your information through like this podcast and online and on demand and as you need it, the less likely you are to need to have things in your house at all times in order to be a reference for you. And very soon, I'm not sure if it's the next podcast or not. Next podcast is podcast number 100. I have a couple ideas. So I think I have a different idea for the next podcast, but shortly thereafter, I have been doing a lot of research on generations and how generations interact with each other and how it, how where we are in the years affects where we are in generations and how that affects our stuff and how that affects our house. So I think now that I'm done talking about ADHD, I think the next thing I'm really going to delve deep into are this whole idea about how generations look at their stuff and the changes that are going on in society, because I just can't stop researching it. Like, it is so fascinating to me. All right. So I'm going to sum up. These are the five, like, general overarching things I want you to remember as you're going through the 40 Weeks, One Whole House Challenge, or any organizational plan that you're doing on your own. Number one, you can keep every single piece of your passion project, but try to simplify every other area of your house. And when I say that, let every family member keep their passion area. Okay? So, like, my daughter has animal stuff, so I never try to get her to get rid of any animal stuff. My son is big into electronics. I never try to get him to get rid of any electronics. And I am into, I don't know, whatever it is you call it that I'm into. Blogging. Teaching. I'm into teaching. I think it's just teaching and coaching. That's what I'm into. So anything related to that, books related to that, I don't make myself get rid of those. So keep all of your family's passion areas and get ruthless on the other stuff. Number two, in those passion areas, for every member of the family, if they're not currently doing that passion, go ahead and put it in a box with a lid on it and a label, and then store it somewhere and have it be your passion closet, I guess. Number three, set up a maintenance time for your passions. So for my daughter's passions of animals, it's every Saturday that cage has to be clean and that room has to be clean. For myself, it's every Sunday I'm going to go through my Sunday basket, and every 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to go through my whole and everything I've saved for my business to keep my creativity flowing. And then number four, set aside maintenance time in your house. Maybe for you, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, an hour and a half. Maybe it's every night. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's whatever. But on that day, at that time, that's when you're going to walk through the house and make sure that the systems that you've already set into place are being maintained. People aren't shoving stuff in there. You didn't let it go too long and not purge it, and just kind of maintain that. And that's what the 40 Weeks, One Whole House does, actually. Every year, you're going through all of those 40 areas again and just tweaking them and updating them. And then number five, reflect. It is not a judgment on you if you end up picking a new organizational system 3 years later. I'm sure that organizational system worked fabulously for you for those 3 years, but now you need to do something else because of technology, because of your passions, because of where your family is in life. All right. Get ready. The next episode is episode 100.